We're going to be in Hebrews 11. I hope you'll grab a Bible, turn with me there as we study a little bit about God's faithfulness this morning. I'm excited about this lesson as we continue our series on Behold Our God, as we have learned and have been learning about the character of God and who He is. When I lived in Childress, we had probably 14, 15 big trees on our property. And so come fall, anybody that I could talk into helping me rake leaves would make me happy. And it was not uncommon to have people stop by my house that were just looking for work and go, "Hey, I noticed you had a lot of leaves, or maybe your grass needed mowed. Could I work for you for a little money?" And that was not uncommon. And there were people that come by, and sometimes they'd show up like they said, or sometimes they would do a half-hearted job. But there was one guy that over and over, every time he said he'd show up, he was there, and I would pay him, and he would work extra. It just seemed like he would go above and beyond, and I'd always give him a little extra. And he became so dependable to me to show up and help me at times that he got to the point that when we left Childress, he had a key to my shed. He could borrow any of my tools that he wanted to. When I left on vacation, he would pick up my mail and check on the things at my house. And this was had been a random guy at first that had just stopped by and said, "Hey, can I work for some funds?" He was faithful when it came to him saying he would do what he would do. There's kind of a test on faithfulness that says, how do I know I can trust someone? How do I know someone's faithful? And these are some blanks I put on your handout, but these are kind of what we're going to walk through for a second this morning. Does a person tell the truth when they tell you they're going to be there? Are they there? Do they shoot straight with you? Are they fair? That's one of those things. I get frustrated when somebody's not dependable, or somebody's not fair, or somebody's not reliable. And so when you look at what does it mean to be faithful, all three of these boxes have to be checked. That makes sense, doesn't it? I borrowed a trailer this week from a friend here in Lubbock. I don't own a trailer. The best thing besides owning a trailer is having a friend that owns a trailer, right? And so when I borrowed his trailer, I told him when I was going to pick it up, when I was going to drop it off. I put it exactly back where I found it, everything else, so that the next time I call him, he'll go, "Oh, absolutely, come borrow the trailer." Because I want to tell the truth. I want to be fair, and I want to be reliable. So when it comes to God, God checks all of these boxes. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. He tells the truth. He is fair, and He is reliable. There's a verse that tells you all three of these in Psalm 33, verse 4. I put it on the board because I want you to read it with me this morning. I'm going to read it to you, then we're going to read it together. "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." Now, would you read that with me? "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does." That checks all three boxes in one verse. But when we find a story, when I'm looking for something that says, how do I know God is faithful? I turn to Hebrews 11 and I read a story about a man by the name of Abraham. And we're going to look at his story this morning and kind of what it meant to be, to find out how faithful God is. And so I want you to notice right off the bat, we're going to look at three things this morning that shows God's faithfulness in different areas. The first thing is that God is faithful with my future. I can trust God with my future. So I want you to notice with me in verse 8 for a second. Notice down here, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go up to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though," get this, I have this underlined because it blows me away right here at this last part, "even though he did not know where he was going." So here's the story of Abraham, and if you back up and read it from the book of Genesis, what actually takes place is God comes to Abraham one day and says, "Abraham, I want you to load all your stuff up, and I want you to get packed, and I want you to move to a new place. And if I'm Abraham, I'm asking questions like, where are we going?" And God tells him, says, "I'll let you know when we get there." Now, that was a big deal. Moving in those days were a big deal because you were leaving your clan, your group of people. Safety was among the numbers. That was your family, your big group of people that you lived with. And God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, I want you to load your stuff up. I want you to trust me. I want you to know I'm faithful, and I want you to go move. I want you to move somewhere else. I'll let you know when you get there. And can you imagine the conversation that Abraham had to have with Sarah, his wife? I don't know about you, but I'm not a big details guy. You know, I don't always give all the details, but I can see Sarah. Wives want details, don't they? My wife wants to know who, what, where, when, everything. She needs details. I'm one of those people. I don't need all those details, but I can imagine Sarah going, wait, we're moving? We are. When? As soon as we can get back. Where are we going? I actually don't know. Can you imagine that conversation? I mean, it was one of those things where it's just kind of like, really? Really? But you know what? Sarah also trusted Abraham, and she trusted God in faithfulness. And I can trust. I've learned that I can trust God with my future. God is trustworthy. He is faithful when it comes to these things. So I want to ask you, do you ever get worried about the future? I know that sometimes I get a little anxious thinking about the future. Maybe the economy, maybe keeping a job, maybe the future of your children. I hear older folks all the time come in and go, I'm worried about my grandkids. What will things be like for my grandkids? Are you worried about providing for your family? Are you worried about saving enough for retirement that you can retire someday? Are you worried about someday having to go to a nursing home and no longer being able to live independently among yourself? Sickness or cancers or Alzheimer's, is it not common for us to worry a little bit about the future? You may be thinking, I wasn't until you brought it all up. Now I am. But Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, don't be anxious about life. He says, don't be anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live. God's going to take care of that. He'll say in chapter 6 and verse 33, right after that, if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things that you're worried about will be taken care of. All of these things will be added unto you. So when you look at the checkbox, the list, is God fair? Does he tell the truth? Oh, he does. He took care of Abraham. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of me. Is he fair? Absolutely. Is he reliable? He is. And I know what it's like to move, and it's not easy. Man, we a couple of years ago, we're debating, is this a good move? You know, does God has blessed us where we are. You know, and we got to thinking, just because we leave one place doesn't mean God's not going to be in the next. Sometimes we have parents that go, I'm not sure I want my kids to go on a mission trip because I'm not going to be there to take care of them. Is God not going to take care of them here? Is he not also going to take care of them over there as well? The same God that's here in Lubbock, Texas, is the same God that's in Mexico City. I can trust God with my future. The second thing I want you to notice is that you can trust God to keep his promises. If you'll notice down here in verse 11, you read the next part of Abraham's story. So Abraham does what God tells him to do and moves. And then God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, by faith, he says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him, did you see that word? Faithful. It's right there in your text. She considered God faithful, who had made the promise. And so from one man, he as good as dead, came the descendants as numerous as stars of the sky and as countless as the seas of seashore. So let me tell you what the story is that takes place when Abraham is 75 years old. 75. And Sarah is 65. God comes to them and says, you're going to have a son. And you're going to have a son that's going to give you a bunch of sons. It's going to give you a bunch of grandkids. If you could walk out and count the stars in the skies, that's how many descendants you're going to have. That must have been amazing, especially for a guy 75, right? And 65. And Abraham and Sarah thought, ooh, this is exciting. This is great. We don't have any children, and we would love to have children. And we've been made this promise by God, and we want children. The problem with the story, it's really not a problem. The problem is sometimes when God says, I'm going to take care of your future, I'm going to take care of your promises, and he makes us promises, we're people who sometimes think, okay, so this means next week this is going to happen. Sarah and Abraham both thought, hey, so next year we're going to have a child. Next year the child didn't come. The next year the child didn't come. The next year the child didn't come. 25 years later. And sometimes I've wondered to myself why God couldn't just wait until Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89 and then come go, hey, next year you're going to have a baby. Then there wouldn't have been so much stress there, right? But the problem is God wants you to trust him that he's going to keep his promises no matter what. He doesn't always just make it easy on you, telling you exactly how everything's going to be. He says, trust me, I am faithful and I'll keep my promise. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 89. Phenomenal story. Absolutely phenomenal when we find out that God keeps his promises. God has promised that he'll take care of us, that he's going to give us his Holy Spirit. He's promised that he'll forgive us, that he's going to give us rest. He's promised us a place in heaven with him. He's promised us that he will answer our prayers. Sometimes those answers are yes. Sometimes they're no. Sometimes they're wait, like with Sarah and Abraham. The problem that we have to understand is that God's going to keep his promises. It may just not be on our time. I don't always wait well. I don't know about you, but I don't always wait well when I want something to get done or when I'm praying about something. You know, if my wife and I are working on a weekend project that's going to take 2 days, I want it done in a day. You know, Lee always tells me, he said, honey, Rome wasn't built in a day. That's because I was not there, okay? I could have got it done. I want things done quick. Amazon has spoiled us with this like next day delivery stuff. We don't like to wait. We think when we pray, God needs to answer tomorrow or next week. Wait is a dirty word to most of us. And I'll wait on the Lord, but not very long. And that's just not just Abraham. That's me and everybody else. Or give me patience, Lord, and give it to me now. Can I remind you real quickly? I wish I'd have put these on the board, but let me remind you of this. 40 years of character building in Moses before he was ready to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Took 40 years. Let me give you another one. God anointed David and said, you're going to be king, and it took 12 years. Joseph waited 13 years from the time he was a boy that had been put in a pit to the time he became second in command of Egypt. 13 years. Abraham, 25. Jesus waited 30 years to start his ministry. So if God is making you wait on something, can I just say you're in really good company? Really good company. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Can I just remind you that Peter tells us with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. And David will also say, wait on the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. God keeps his promises. He is faithful, but sometimes he has to make us wait. And so it comes to the question, is God fair? Does he tell the truth? He does. If he makes you a promise, he's going to keep it. Is he fair? More than fair. Is he reliable? He comes through. He comes through. Maybe not on our time, but he will come through. Look at the third thing on our list with Abraham that we're learning about. I can trust God when things seem difficult. Look in verse 17. You know this story. This goes back to chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. In 17, Abraham was tested by God. By faith, Abraham, when tested by God, offered. Notice this, doesn't say almost offered. You know the story. He came within this close of killing his son because God told him to. But this says, because his willingness to go through with it, it was an offering. By faith, Abraham, when tested by God, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. even though God had said to him, through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned, Abraham reasoned that God would even raise him from the dead. And so as a matter of speak, he did. Meaning that Abraham thought, hey, if I do this, God will bring you back. You know, everything that God asked Abraham to do right here didn't make a lot of sense, especially to Abraham. Doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but especially to Abraham. Offer your son as a sacrifice? That goes against love. I love my kid. Why would I want to hurt him? It goes against logic. This makes no sense. It actually went against the law. You don't kill people. And yet Abraham, when he was told to go, went to the mountains of Moriah and offered his son as a sacrifice. And God showed Abraham that I am also faithful. I am also to be trusted when things are difficult. It's not always easy. Nothing is harder than obeying God in difficult times. I have never been called to sacrifice my son. Never. But I have been called to do some things that are pretty difficult. I've been asked to do some things that don't make a lot of sense. You probably have too. Let me give you some examples. Matthew chapter 18 verse 15 says, if your brother has sinned against you, you should go to him and try to make it right. That's hard. You mean somebody that's hurt my feelings, instead of holding it against them, I need to go to them and try to work it out? That's what God says to do. I think I'd rather just I'm not a big confrontational person. Why should I do this? Because God said that you need to do it. God still gives us difficult tasks today. Giving, for some people, it's still like, wow, God wants me to give when things have been really, really tight. How about flee sexual immorality, the Bible says. Sex is absolutely everywhere around us. Every TV show, every book, every magazine, every movie. You now hold in your hand a cell phone that can take you anywhere where you want to go. And it's just one of those things that we live in a world where information and stuff that is bad is right there. And God says, hey, I expect you to keep yourself free from immorality. That can be tough sometimes. I can be difficult sometimes. Love your enemies, that's pretty tough. God says trust when things don't make sense. How about God saying, give your life to me. Confess my son as Lord. Repent. Change your ways and be baptized. That can be pretty tough. My friend Joe Waldron. Joe was not raised in a church or to be a Christian or anything else. And all of his life he'd been told one thing. And it wasn't until he was an adult that he was confronted with the news that he had kind of learned it all wrong. Kind of like Saul, who had thought, hey, Jesus isn't real. And then he found out on a road to Damascus when he was blinded, no, Jesus really is. And he had to accept that. And that was tough. Joe realized, I hadn't done this right. And one day I remember Joe coming and going, hey, I need to do this right. It was a hard day for Joe. But a great day for Joe. Wasn't easy to do. I can trust God. God can be faithful. So it checks the box. Does God tell the truth? Oh yeah, he's going to be with us even difficult times. Things are hard. He's there. He walks with us. Sometimes he carries us. Sometimes he leads us, but he's close. Is he fair? More than fair. Is he reliable? Absolutely. I can trust God with my future. I can trust God with my promises, and I can trust God when it's difficult. Those are the things we learn about God. God is a faithful God. God is a faithful God. Breckenridge, Texas. I go there usually every summer to teach some classes for a church for their vacation Bible school for their adults. Have a really big VBS there. And a couple of years ago when I was there, I get there. You know me, I'm an early guy. I get there really early. And I get there, and generally I beat most folks. But right there in the corner of the back was a little lady sitting there. And I thought, man, this lady is 40 minutes early this morning. And I come in and I sit down with her and I make friends with her. She's a little German lady, the sweetest lady you could ever. And I asked her, I said, you got here early? You even beat the preacher tonight. And she said, I like to get my chair. This is my chair. And I said, oh, very good. We talked and had the best time, but I'd already decided right then that tomorrow night I'm getting there 45 or 50 minutes early, and I'm going to get that chair just because I'm going to be honoring. And so the next night, I show up on Tuesday night for VBS, and believe it or not, she's already in her chair. I thought, how early does this woman get here? I sit down and we just have the best visit about her faith and about her life. And so I decided next night, hey, an hour and a half early, I'm coming early. And I did. I mean, I didn't have anything going on. I might as well. And so I show up an hour and she's not there. I get that chair and I plop myself down and I wait. And I wait and I wait. And I remember thinking, if she doesn't show up tonight, I'm going to be really frustrated. But did you know about an hour ahead of time, here she comes. I could hear her. I kind of looked behind me. I could see her coming in. She comes shuffling in and she walks right up and she goes, what on earth are you doing? And I said, I just wanted you to know I could get here really early, even earlier than you if I need to. And she said, I like you, preacher boy. She said, now get out of my chair, all right? Now, I asked her, I said, what keeps you coming to VBS and to church all the time? What gets you here so early? Why are you so excited about coming to church? And she said, and I won't ever forget it, she said, God has been so faithful to me, I just want to be faithful to him. And I remember thinking, I love her heart. That's the kind of heart I want. God doesn't care where you sit, but God does want you to be faithful to him. We serve a faithful God. So I want to ask you a quick question as we close. If you died today, why should God let you into heaven? If you died and stood before God, and if God said, why should I let you into my house today, what would your answer be? I want you to think about that for a second. What's your answer? If you say, because I read my Bible, or because I prayed, or because I went to church, I just want to tell you, those are absolutely terrible answers. That's not the reason God's going to let you into heaven. Reading your Bible and praying and going to church, those are all things that Christians do, but that doesn't make you a Christian. Doing good things don't make you a Christian. But Christians do good things. What makes you a Christian is realizing that you are 100% totally lost without Jesus. And that you've got no shot without him. And that you have to give him your life. You have to confess him as Lord and you need to be baptized. Then you read and you pray and you go to church because that's what Christians do. But that's not why you get into heaven. You can sit in the pew all of your life and not be a Christian. And so you need to give Jesus your life. Now you may be sitting here and go, I did that a long time ago. So let me just say this for a second. You also have another responsibility. If you go, hey, God has been faithful to me and I've given him my life. Yes, I read my Bible and I go to church and all the things that you mentioned earlier. But there's one more thing. You need to share what you know. You need to share Jesus. That's your job. We have the best, very best evangelism team at Sunset. You know who that is? That's you. You're on the evangelism team. God put you there. Saved people. You ready for this? Saved people save people. It's just a natural response. When you learn, this is what God has done for me. He is faithful. He sent his son to die for me. Then you have no choice but to visit with other people around you. To say, hey, come go to church with me sometime. To tell folks that you go to school with or to work with, hey, come join me at church. Let me tell you about the sermon Sunday. To talk about scripture, something or another. But what you can't do is just be quiet and absorb it and not let anything go out. So I'm going to ask you real quickly this week, just as encouragement, just as challenge, who'd you invite to church this week? Did you invite anybody? Did you even think about it? Because God wants us to share what we know. God wants us to, we have a faithful God that's so good to us. He's been so faithful to us. How could we not be faithful to him? We're going to sing an invitation song at this time. And if you need to respond this morning to ask for prayers, to be baptized, to give your life to Christ, whatever it is that we can help you with, would you come as we stand and sing this invitation song?